WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
The biggest party of the summer rolls into Minnesota next weekend on ESPN and Netflix. This is WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to subscribe for free. You use credit card Rocket Sock and Fortnite Shoppers, hashtag Epic Partner. If you watch for 1 hour this week, you get your Summerfest badge. It's that simple. We're here to talk SummerSlam, the two-night SummerSlam. I think the best way to describe this card, variety. And we'll break it down. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Now, we've got a big card, but the question is, are we going to get thumbtack-covered hockey pucks?
No, but we may get sandpaper or sand.
But Brock, thumbtack-covered hockey pucks. It's what the people want?
Only way to find out is by asking the Canadian who covers the hockey, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that would be me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR. Sunday night is the SummerSlam preview edition of this here particular live webcast on twitch.tv/WTR Live. Join us in the live chat room. Say hi to the lovely Lindsay Ward. Hi, Lindsay! And, of course, chat with Team Chat and tell him how full of it he is. Hi, Matt.
So Tim, answer the question.
A hockey pucks covered in tacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No?
Just no.
But Montreal is getting it!
No. Montreal, you light cars on fire in the street after the team loses in the playoffs. You don't use tack-colored or covered hockey pucks. That's just a no.
But also, but yes, when you're in Montreal, you have to make sure that you pay homage to the Rougeaus.
anyway, that's about
how it went over in the live crowd as well.
If you don't know Canadiana, then don't attempt to appease Canadians, because you're going to fail. It ain't going to work.
Had Matt Menard from Quebec introduce them as well.
Anyway, that's AEW Redemption going on live right now. So if you want to watch it, good on you. Barbed wire tables, thumbtacks on hockey pucks. Oh my. We're here to talk about SummerSlam, which is 2 days this coming weekend. And as I mentioned during the intro of this show, I would describe it as variety, as it has something for, I think, pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
We got comedy, we got pure wrestling, we got fan favorites.
We got gimmicks.
Tonight we're going to focus on just a few matches, and we'll kind of give opinions on everything, but quicker than most. But I want to start with what will be probably one of the more talked about matches. It is Hell in a Cell. It is Obafemi. It is Brock Lesnar. The rubber match. What are we thinking on this one? Because this is probably one of the main events. Maybe you close night one with it. I don't know.
What are the chances you're going to open up one of the nights with it?
Well, I wouldn't.
I don't think you're going to take Seth Roman off of night one main event. I think Cody and Phil are night two.
I thought Roman and Seth is night two. That's my opinion. I think Roman and Seth is night two.
It's the bigger deal of the two matches.
I wouldn't call it the bigger deal. I would call it the more politicking main event is that one. I think the politics get Roman in the main event of night two rather than a night one.
Yeah, that description works as well.
I would have said that if it weren't for the fact it's Phil and Cody.
Phil and Cody are more team players than Roman is in terms of politicking positions. Just call me crazy, but I think that's the way it goes. Especially because they're more of a chance for a title change in Roman, Seth, than Cody and Punk. Well, we'll get to that. Oba and Brock. What do we think?
What does Casey say?
Give me opinions. We're not going to write the picks. Give me a
no, opinion. No. He's not saying picks. What's Casey's line?
Oh, well, what's Casey's line then? Brent, say it.
Two big beefy men slapping meat.
That is going to be what's happening, and it's not going to be free range because it's in a cage. Hell in a Cell. Unless they climb to the top. You never know.
I don't think those two are climbing.
It'd be hilarious if they did. But it's going to be a massively huge pop for Brock because where's SummerSlam this year, right? It's going to be a big, huge pop for Oba because, well, that's just the way that he's been set up. I don't see this being a very long match.
I mean, it's Hell in a Cell. You got to give it some substance.
You've got to give it time. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of stalking of each other to kill time, which would make the crowd wind up making, even more noise when they finally do lock up, I think.
But you're promoting it as violent. Hell in a Cell, it has to a little bit of time.
Well, when I say not long, I don't mean it's going to be short, sweet, and to the point. It's going to be, in my opinion, I think it's going to be shorter than some of the Hell in a Cells that we've seen throughout history. But the violence will be there. I'm just wondering about what they might do for that big crowd pleasing move.
I mean, that's sort of like, well, you have to hit something big, because it'd be weird if they got out, but I wouldn't be surprised if they break out.
Break out, I could see. Top of cage, no. Not with these two. Especially because I think there's definitely more possibility that one of them will be hurt trying to get off top of cage.
But imagine if they went through the cell.
Oh, I could see a spear or, a double through the cage wall and it breaks for one of those OMG moments. And, the announcers, because I can just see Michael Cole right now saying, even the cage can't keep them in. Some line like that. They break through everything, including the cage.
Right.
At some point through this match, something has to break with these two guys in there.
Who wins?
Oh, I've got my money on Oba.
Why?
This is Brock's swan song.
Is it?
I think so.
I don't think it's... I think if this was going to be Brock's end, they would make a bigger deal of it, especially for the fact they had the initial... they had that initial tease of it at WrestleMania. And the fact that they walked that back, walked that as near perfect moment as you could have had in that instance. I feel like Brock walking away at WrestleMania now, or at SummerSlam, feels disappointing. Because if he came back for SummerSlam to put over Oba in Hell in a Cell just to walk away again, I don't know. It would be, what was the point? You made Oba in the moment at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. We all talked about it that night. We were in shock. We were talking about how that essentially was like, wow, you know, Brock's done. We didn't see it coming. Holy shit, Obafemi is the next big thing. He was on ESPN with this, and it forced that moment of Brock walking away. Dear God. Now, if they go through that match and we get the Brock Cody moment where he kind of like, you know, pats him on the chest and is like, you did good, kid. And then he takes his shoes off again. It completely loses the impact of that moment because, again, it's a rehash from a couple of months ago. I don't think Brock is fully done, or if Brock is done, he's not going to do something big in the ring. He's just going to walk to the back, and we just don't see him come back. But it won't be a pronounced retirement thing again. You had that moment.
So you're both going Obafemi.
Well, I'm going with Oba for the simple fact of, if you've seen any of Unreal, you know Hunter thinks this is the guy.
Yeah.
And he understands it too. My favorite thing was after the Royal Rumble, if you watch Unreal, he goes up to Hunter and is basically like, lay into me. Tell me what I need to do better. Do all of this. And Hunter's like, no, you did good. Enjoy the moment. But I really appreciate the fact that, like, Oba, in that moment, is just like, I want to be better. What do I have to do? You know, don't hold back. Lay into me. Tell me what I need to do. And his boss had to be like, no, you're good. You did good tonight, kid. Go rest. Hunter believes him, and we've seen this. And I know so many people are chastising the WWE because, oh, he won King of the Ring, and he put his title match aside to face Brock in Hell in a Cell. They're not, you know, they're going to just forget about the title match. No, Oba's got it right now to where if he wants to at Survivor Series, boom, he cashes in, he wins. And I mean, it's not Money in the Bank, but he can call his shot and be like, I'm going to face you here. And that feels almost an inevitability of like, when he calls his shot, he's going to get it. Because also, I think we saw, if you wait to pull the trigger on someone, you never know what happens and everything can move past them. Again, as we saw on the show, with a certain Breaker.
It was nowhere on this card.
Nope. He is a tag team champion who's treading water right now.
Yeah.
They put a belt on him because you still want him to feel like a big deal, but as you can see, there is so much else going on this card that it's like Braun getting hurt twice at the most inopportune times made them have to change all their plans, and when that happens, they don't easily go back to the plan from before because they've had to make all the adjustments.
So switching gears, we return to the ring of Nick Aldis to take on Gunther at SummerSlam. We excited?
No.
Do you want me to be honest?
Yes.
Initially, I wasn't. And Rock knows this because I've talked to him about this offline. I wasn't the biggest fan of, we're going to pull Nick Aldis from the GM role into a wrestling capacity. But I will say with this build, they've got me intrigued. I wish they do one thing, though, with this.
What's that?
And I feel like it's too late. They need to put something together for the casual fan to understand who Nick Aldis really is. Because all we've seen him as is the on-air authority role. And it's the same with Adam Pearce. But when Pearce was going to get in the ring, it was very sheepish. Because remember, he was going to fight Brock at one point. Or was it Lashley?
Oh, I don't remember. But it was one of them.
It was one of the bigger guys. And I remember he had the look about him like, I don't want to do this. Or like, I don't do this. I'm the backstage guy. I don't get involved. And he got out of that match, but it was the whole thing of like, he's an authority figure. He's not a wrestler. I want WWE to put something together, and you can use footage from TNA to show Nick Aldis is a capable wrestler.
And I would assume during the 2-hour countdown show, we get a video package.
I hope so. Well, I hope that. I hope on the show before the match they show it, as they tend to do. I would love it during like SmackDown or something this week, because I just want the people at home to like get who Nick Aldis. I mean, for us who have watched it, we know TNA, NWA, former world's champion. He's been a wrestler for what, 20 years now?
Something close to that.
Something like that. And it's like, I want people to understand that, like, Gunther getting in the ring, yes, it's someone who hasn't been in the ring for a while. Yes, it's, you know, the husband of Mickie James. But when Gunther talks about, I've laid all of these people out, you know, are you going to be the next? If I'm a casual fan, I'm looking at this going, I mean, it's John Cena, Goldberg, AJ Styles, and the SmackDown GM? I just want them to make it a bigger deal, and so that, you know, if Nick Aldis stands up to Gunther, don't get me wrong, I still think Gunther's going to win here, because Gunther and what he's supposed to be, I want it to be like Nick Aldis holding his own isn't this huge, you know, 1-2-3 kid moment of, oh my god, we couldn't have seen this coming. And instead it's like, no, Gunther pushed someone's buttons and didn't know what he got into, but he can still put him down because he hasn't been in the ring for a long time.
Understandable. I hope we get that, because they did mention he was an NWA champion on SmackDown, so they were, and it was Gunther putting him over, so that kind of helped.
That does help. And I mean, a reference like that does something, but visually seeing it makes it so it's like, oh, okay. And the one piece of footage that I wish you could use, but you can't because it's owned by other people, would be that NWA World's Championship match with Cody.
Yeah.
Because if you had that, that's relatable. And if you watch Nick Aldis versus Cody Rhodes, who, you know what Cody can do. You've seen him for the last couple of years in the ring, plus all the previous years before he, you know, left and came back. You have that moment where you're like, you can make that connection and go, oh, Nick Aldis really can go. Okay. And again, it sets up that match a little more than just, you know, Becky Lynch, Jessica Carr kind of moment.
This match is going to deliver more than the casual fan will expect it to.
Oh yeah, Nick Aldis gets his WrestleMania WrestleMania moment at SummerSlam. He gets that big shine in WWE, something that he has not gotten yet.
So you're both going Gunther?
I'm going to go Gunther.
Gunther.
And all the one thing that's interesting is his abdication of duties ends after SummerSlam. He's back on the job, in theory.
In theory. All right, run through a couple matches really quick. It is a number one contenders match for the Undisputed WWE Championship. Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, who you got and why? Brent.
Part of me wants Sami because I think there's more of the story in terms of, like, Sami got screwed. He's the last good guy. You play it out a bit more what happened. If Balor wins, I think that relegates Sami further down the card again and kind of hurts him.
So Sami.
Does it?
I'm going to have Sami.
Does it relegate him though? Is there not a potential storyline there? If Finn Balor wins, you get a complete turn with Sami?
Balor wins, his next shot at the world title is going to be like every shot Finn Balor has had for the world title since he had to abdicate the Universal the first time. With Sami, if he wins, it frees up more possibility in my mind. If Sami loses here, yes, I get the fact of it's more storyline for he's being held down and everything, but I have a feeling if he loses, part of the fan momentum that's there right now for his 9-day championship run, his, you know, losing to Phil, the people still kind of clamoring for Sami. I think if he loses to Finn Balor, you start to lose the fans again because it goes, well, Sami's lost again.
So Brent's going Sami. Tim, who you got?
Well, I can see them giving Finn the win, but who does Balor go up against if he gets that win, right?
Well, I mean, it's either Phil or Cody, so.
Exactly. And while we haven't really seen Finn Cody, Finn Punk is a rather recent match, wasn't it?
Last year, Elimination Chamber.
No, it was back in January, right? Yeah, it was this year.
Storyline speaking, that's somewhat recent.
Actually, it was this year's Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
because it was on the show. They fought in Dublin when Balor was a heel, and then they fought in Chicago in Punk's home at Chamber.
Yeah, they're 1-1.
The blow off would just increase the stakes if the blow off was for the title, right?
Yeah. Well, if Punk is 2-0, it would be 1-1 in different cities. Is what I meant. So you're picking Sami?
No. I'm picking Sami.
That's what I said. All right. Quick predictions on this one.
I know what you said.
Bella Twins and Paige versus Fatal Influence. Brent.
Fatal. I think we're gonna get a split of the Bellas and Paige here.
Tim.
Fatal Influence wins. I don't know if they split like Brent aren't with Sam.
And one final quick prediction. Trick Williams, Baron Corbin for United States Championship. Tim.
Trick.
Brent.
Baron came back, but I think they're still a little bit behind Trick here. If you want to take the belt off of Trick, I think you can do it in a three-way with Carmelo. And you can put it either on Hayes or the Nomad that way.
Now, when I said something for everybody, this is where we go to the comedy match of the night. Danhausen versus Dominic Mysterio. Human monies are on the line.
What's on the line?
Human monies. $100,000 of human monies.
Yeah.
Oh, human monies.
Human monies.
I didn't quite catch what you said because I got you turned up to distortion here for some reason.
Okay, cool.
I'm just looking forward to this match because it's Danhausen. You said comedy match. Whatever's going to happen, it's gonna have to be good.
What do we see happening?
Danhausen wins because Dominic will be cursed.
Right.
I see Danhausen winning here because the whole thing with the money. If the Judgment Day win here, if Dom wins here, it doesn't necessarily do anything. They get their money back, but this feels more like a fan service moment than anything. Danhausen wins. If anything, he'll throw some to the crowd to really kind of drive the point home and drive the Judgment Day a little bit mad. Dom still has everything going on in Triple A to help him out until he eventually loses that belt. But for this, I see Danhausen winning here. Even though he is a comedy act, if he loses, fine. I just feel like in this moment, Danhausen wins.
And Tim, you're going Danhausen?
I'm going Danhausen.
All right, it is a five-way. For the interim women's championship, it is Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair, or either Julia or Lash Legend.
Either of the last two women in the match is going to be great.
Wouldn't it be something if they put it on Chelsea?
I would love it, especially because, as we have said on this show, as has been said on other shows, anytime you give Chelsea Green something, she turns it into gold, no matter what it is. This would be a really good moment to reward Chelsea, especially because whoever wins this is going to face the Eradicator as soon as she's back. It is the interim belt, and they've said when Rhea's back, she gets to claim, you know, whoever champion is, and we unify. We've seen Jade and Rhea before. It's fine. It's two big beefy women slapping meat. We've seen Rhea and Charlotte a lot. They do great matches, but I don't know if I want to see another one of them right now. Tiffany, Julia, or Lash, or Chelsea is something a little bit new. And I think something like Chelsea versus Rhea would be really interesting for the fans, because you like Chelsea, and depending on how long Rhea is out, you can kind of milk this out a bit. Let the fans really kind of get behind Chelsea Green, so that when Rhea comes back, there is this kind of moment of, wait, who do we really want? Because the fans love Rhea already, but it becomes that kind of thing like, wait, which of my children do I love more? And it also sets up a very interesting dynamic with her new kind of BFF, Tiffany. Tiffany has the U.S. title, but as with any good respecting performer, they probably have their eye on the bigger title, hence why she's also in this match. But if Chelsea wins, the person who's been hanging around Tiffany and has helped her with the U.S. title, it'll be interesting to see what Tiffany does. Do you keep her the way that she has been and she's happy for her friend and this is all great? Or is this a way that you can start to kind of turn Tiffany and let jealousy rear its head a little bit? Have it be that like, oh, we're good, you know, oh, we're friends, I have your back. And she's doing like the Randy Orton during the Cody build for that year where his eyes drift a little towards that title belt. Doesn't say anything, but you just catch those looks, or you catch that little bit of a linger of her handing the belt to Chelsea.
I mean, there'll be double champs then. One will have the U.S., one will have the world title. That's fine.
Right. You have besties that way. But it's also, like, I've seen somewhere where Tiffany has talked about, like, maybe she wants to bring the daddy's girl mentality to to the main roster a little bit. And with that was kind of a Regina George Queen Bee kind of role. And the Queen Bee isn't going to be one that's content with a U.S. title, especially when she's main evented WrestleMania holding the other belt.
All right, who wins?
I've talked myself into it. I want Chelsea to push someone off the ladder like she did at Money at the Bank and grab that belt.
Tim?
Plus, I wonder if they're going to play into the fact of Chelsea hates ladders, as we've seen in past matches.
Yeah. All right, Tim, who you got?
Yeah, we're going to make it a clean sweep. We all want Chelsea to win for different reasons. And it's fun to watch her slowly get on everybody's nerves when she's got this kind of a push. It's just fun.
It is. All right. The women's world title's on the line. Liv Morgan, Brent's favorite wrestler, taking on Io Sky.
Damn it, unreal. This is the one drawback of this show. It actually makes you like certain people or respect them.
Wait. You have more respect for Liv Morgan now after watching WWE Unreal?
Watching her go through some of the stuff and like when we watched the Royal Rumble and she won, I admit, I enjoyed the moment where you could see what it meant to her. And yeah. You found out later, she forgot the point. The ref had to tell her, go point. Do the thing. It's one of those, like, as a character, Liv Morgan, there's things that leave things to be desired. I wish she was more than just what her character is right now, kind of the crazy chick. And Lindsay has talked about this as well. When she's gotten championships, she's felt very one note. And then I see some of these other things, and you realize, like, yes, the effort that she puts into it. The fact that the girls in the back all appreciate her, respect her, cheer for her. Bailey is everyone's number one cheerleader is what I've learned, which is great. But like, I do have an appreciation for the effort, the work, and what she has done to get herself to this point in terms of Liv Morgan. She understands the assignment. She puts in the work. She's reaping those rewards right now. What I don't like is, again, her kind of one-note nature and the internet fans' obsession with her is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
With other wrestlers like Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, like, there's fans online, and they're cool. With Liv, it is very much like, we adore Liv, and anyone else is fucking awful, and I don't want to deal with them. She should be forever champion. And it's like, but no. So I think that's where I more have issue. It's not necessarily with her. It's more or less with her crazy fan base. Unfortunately, her winning drives that more.
This is my big beef with Liv. Exactly. You go online and you got all of these Liv stands beaking and barking and just, you know, you could tell them the sky's blue and they'll fight you on it. And because of them, I'm soured a bit on Liv, at least in this current incarnation. But Io right now, she's still everybody's darling.
So I'll ask this question then. Does Io really need the belt?
I don't know if it's a case of need the belt as much as it is here's your reward for the time being, for now, for what you've done up to this point. That's the way I view, you know, I've been viewing it since she won the thing. And it's deserving, at least in my opinion it is. And yeah, I'm picking Io.
I think for me, it depends what you're going to do with the picture after SummerSlam. Stephanie is still out resting, and under her own words, she needs it. She's been going for a long time. Her body is beat to hell. She needs a moment. I would be comfortable with Liv winning if the next avenue for them is either Raquel or Roxanne stepping up to her, because it changes the dynamic that I've had, that I have problem with in terms of Liv, because the Judgment Day always helps her. And as Lindsay brought up, there has not been a payoff yet for what happened at the Royal Rumble when she ousted them both. They both just kind of been like, you know, oh, well, we just help Liv. We're her lackeys. There's a little bit of hesitation on Roxanne's face with the whole, like, I was trying to go for this. It didn't happen. Like, what do I do? And you saw Finn kind of like jumping on that a little bit more of like, you know, you don't have to stick around here. You don't have to be her lapdog. You can do your own thing. We have yet to see that payoff. And if that's where they go after SummerSlam, I'm here for it. Because again, it shifts the dynamic in the Judgment Day where Liv has always had backup. What happens if she doesn't? What if Dom is busy in AAA with his own problems? What if Raquel and Roxanne are a little more hesitant about helping her out? Can she stand on her own, or is she only what she is the Judgment Day right now? In that respect, I guess I'll go Liv here, because I think it opens things up. And we've seen in recent memory Io with the belt. She's always a good champion, but again, my question is, where does it go from here?
Which we will find out. All right, it is Intercontinental Championship time. Penta, Chad Gable.
Penta has done really well with the IC belt.
He has.
I don't know if it has taken him up levels, if you know what I mean, but he's been a good standard bearer for the IC title. He's had matches with Rusev, Ethan Page, Dragon Lee has been around there. Rey Mysterio has been involved. You've had a lot of action around the IC title, but I really feel in this moment, coming off of the whole El Grande Americano and the fact that he has realized a bit the error in his ways and how he's acting, I think Chad winning in Minnesota has a really kind of feel-good moment with it. We had the involvement with Chad in the IC title match with, when he was fighting with Sammy and with Gunther, and eventually Chad turned heel and became a douche. But I feel like this is a good kind of 180 moment from that where he can win, and it's like, okay, I'm cool with this. I accept this.
So you're going Chad Gable.
I'm going to go Gable in this respect.
Tim, who you got?
Yeah, I've got Chad Gable on this one.
And it would be a perfect way to open one of the night.
Especially when they've given him the skull chant.
Yeah. All right. It is the Undisputed WWE Championship, CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes.
I think the match itself is fine. I don't know if I necessarily needed the whole belt microphone thing over the past 2 weeks to amp up the hostilities a bit. I think every so often you get a match like this where it's just one guy versus another. You don't necessarily need heel versus face dynamic. You just put two people together, high level, let them go.
Yeah, this comes across to me as a good friends, better rivals type idea.
I feel like that's what they're trying to do.
And it works, kind of. Yeah, it works. And so I don't see either one of these guys being the babyface or the heel in the match. I expect a really, really good contest between the two of them. A really, really good match with Punk retaining.
Do you agree, Brent? Punk retain?
I think Punk retains here for essentially one bigger reason, and that is, I think people are a little tired of Cody as champion. I get he's QB1. I know that the office has the big faith in him. That's great. I think the fans as a whole want just a little bit of moment where Cody isn't the champion and he can either take time off or...
I think time off would be the worst thing to do, because when he lost the title the first time, he took time off. When he lost the title of Cena, he took time off. He didn't have the character arc, never grew.
Yeah.
He just came back and put himself back in the title picture. Without the title, Cody should be on TV more, not less.
I get that. I don't disagree with that either, because of the fact of you want to see what there is to Cody aside from the title chase.
Yeah, he needs development.
The title.
Yeah.
I get that. And I think Bill, in the role that he is right now, can hold that belt a bit. Do I want to see him stretch it to WrestleMania? No. If he drops it at Rumble or Survivor Series, will I be mad? Absolutely not. I think Phil can step in, hold that belt when you need him to, and then, you know, like, he could they took the belt off of Cody so that you didn't necessarily have to have Phil step in for the SummerSlam match, and you can introduce the intrigue of Sammy, get him his title win, have him drop it, have him go a little bit more crazy with the fact of, I had the belt, it's gone because of this ass, you know, this part-time guy who comes back when he wants to now. Funny how that how that table turned. We saw it with Cena too at one point.
Yeah, I was going to make this point of the match just made. USA wanted Punk on SmackDown. I feel like they're not going to take it off him that for a bit. Yeah, you're going to get a six-month run out of Punk with the title to make NBC Universal happy.
Well, and at the same time, you just gave Phil how much time off?
2 months.
Two months off. You let him run with the belt for a couple of months, and then if you need to, you pull him, you let him rest again, you let him back off. There's no problem in that.
I feel like they have a plan for Punk as the champion to get really good quality matches like he was having before he dropped the belt to Roman. I feel like he's going to be the fighting man's champion. I wouldn't be surprised if the belt's online more on TV.
And you also get him a fresh set of people to fight against because he was on Raw before, and he kind of went through that roster.
And it wouldn't surprise me at some point where, because we'll get to this match in a second, where someone like Trick Williams kind of
gets a shot.
Gets money in the bank and cashes on Punk and kind of gets his moment. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this fall.
Yeah, because I will say, I've heard people that were like, oh, Oba's going to win the Royal Rumble, or he's going to win Money in the Bank. I don't think WWE is going to do that because, number one, Oba already has the guaranteed title shot from the King of the Ring. And two, what was the fear about Braun Breaker, Rock? Why didn't they fully push him at one point?
Because they didn't want to shove him down everyone's throat.
Right. And if you had Oba win a Money in the Bank, a Royal Rumble right now, it would be that fear. It would be Roman 2.0 of, we're going to make you like know that Oba's the guy, rather than the crowd just being behind Oba, which then opens up Money in the Bank for some very interesting possibilities. Someone like a Trick Williams, for lack of a better idea. Maybe that's how you put Braun in the big picture. Because imagine Braun Breaker holding the Money in the Bank briefcase. All he has to do is hit one of those 25-mile-an-hour spears on someone, and he just grabs the case and goes, here you go. And that puts him in the main event.
So Punk.
I think for this, Punk is the play here. Because also, if you want to, it's not a heel thing, but Cody never seems to want to pull the trigger on certain things. He's done a little bit here and there where, like, he hit a low blow in, I think, a title defense against, like, Drew or something. But he's more tentative about doing something. When we saw Phil at the Royal Rumble, his first Rumble back, he was jawing at Cody. He was willing to do whatever it took to win, but he was still a face through it all. It was just a matter of, look, the title's on the line. I'm going to do what it takes to defend it. I'm not going to be a heel about it. I'm not going to openly cheat. But if there is a bit of a shortcut, everything's at play.
All right. It is LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, Royce Keyes taking on the Bloodline. Six-man tag. Who you got, Brent, and why?
This one's tougher for me. I want to see the faces get the win here because there's three guys that I think they need to do something with. They're building up Royce Keyes, and he gets a big moment on a top four pay-per-view, which I'm really happy to see him get that opportunity. You're getting a really weird dynamic with Solo Sikoa as a face. Something that I don't think is natural for him. I think he's built to be a heel, but this gives them an opportunity to explore what's it like to have the younger Uso brother be the black sheep of the family, in a sense.
I mean, he's still not a good guy. He may get cheered a little bit, but he's still not a good guy.
Right. He's still not a good guy. He's still a dick, but he's at least fighting what feels like is on the right side this time. And he doesn't have... He's having to go it alone because, you know, Tala Tonga and Tama Tonga both left his ass because of his obsession with the Bloodline. They're done with him. And then you've got LA Knight, who is the internet darling, but just, I don't know, something still feels off about him. Those three guys I really want to see win. Going up against the Bloodline, who have been in charge for what, 5 years now, in a sense?
In some fashion.
They've been hanging around the main event for over 5 years now. Jimmy and Jay just kind of feel rudderless, even though Jay was main event Jey Uso, even though he did have runs and challenged for main event titles. Big Jim, his biggest claim to fame was knocking up the women's champion and being a fantastic tag team wrestler. But it feels like the Usos have been slotted back into a very particular role. And you have Jacob Fatu, who's essentially biding his time, in my opinion, until we get, I think, the big thing of Roman Jacob split. I want to see the faces win here, but I feel like in this respect, Jacob is the difference maker. The Bloodline will pick up the win here.
Tim, who you got?
I've got the Bloodline. Call it a hunch, call it a feeling.
Is it a Bloodline Knight that stands tall the entire weekend? Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins for the world heavyweight championship. Tim, what are your thoughts?
A lot of history coming into this match between these two guys. At one point in time, years and years ago, I would have wanted this match as, you know, a revenge match. It's going to be good and entertaining, very enjoyable and all that other stuff. But it's also going to be a retention, in my opinion.
And one for the ones, right?
We've seen this play out before. We've seen Roman beat Seth, and...
No, Seth has always beaten Roman.
Not for the big... Or no, you're right.
That's the whole premise of this match. Roman's never beaten Seth Rollins.
You're right. Well, I was thinking of Roman as champion Seth at Royal Rumble, where Seth technically won by disqualification. Roman wouldn't let go, but for all intents and purposes, Roman won that match.
But it's a win is a win on the books.
I know. I know. Yeah, the storyline dictates that Roman wins here, gets a definitive win over Seth. I don't know where you go with Roman after this, though. Unless it's like Survivor Series Money in the Bank is the big match that people want. The title cash-in. Or I should say the opportunity cash-in. Mm-hmm. But I think you do that before... I don't think you drag that out to Saudi Mania. And I know Rock's opinion on Saudi Mania. You're hyped for it, aren't you, Rock?
Can't wait. I have parties planned for the entire weekend.
But just think, you can get the big match that everyone wants. You can get Roman versus Dwayne at Saudi Mania.
You might.
I understand. That's why I'm trying to take the belt off of him by then. Because I think that's going to be the match, and I don't think you have a title involved if you have that match. Because I also don't think you want however old Dwayne Johnson holding the world title.
No.
No, there's more. It's enough. Like, the family drama is enough for them, especially with what happened after 41. More than enough is on the line.
Yeah.
So I'll say Roman here, but sometime in the next 3 months, I think we get the ruler with a belt on his shoulder.
I would say that's more than likely. I believe that's SummerSlam.
That's the card.
Which means we're done. Which means tomorrow night, it's another edition of the Raw Post Show, live whenever Raw lands. We're live to talk about it. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, the Rack previews SummerSlam, 10 p.m. Eastern, and then the Rack Extra reviews SummerSlam Night 1, whenever SummerSlam ends on Saturday. And we'll be back next Sunday to talk about Night 2 of SummerSlam, and thoughts on Night 1 as well on WTR, SunNet, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday Night Tim.
What's that? Oh, me. Social media.
You.
Be on it. In this forum.
Yes, follow Tim on Instagrams. Because you're all over
Instagram.
That. At Flames Forums.
Yeah.
Brent.
Well, you can find me on a variety of social media. Twitter/X, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, at KaneKittens or Kane.Kittens. You can find me making comments on Nights Like Tonight about how certain people or certain promotions are absolutely held under a thumb of something. So, haven't been making too many friends on that one. But that's fine.
Are you drilling your opinions home?
Oh, I'm drilling it deep.
Right into the head.
Yep, you know, sometimes you gotta be a pain maker.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch account, it's not Prime Gamers, not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screens. Use creator code RyanSock at the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. And get your Summerfest badges all week long as we provide that content leading up to SummerSlam. Tim, say goodnight.
Well, that's it, everybody. Enjoy your week. Hope you enjoyed our preview. I hope that it explains Pick'em you get your picks in this week. And we'll catch you next Saturday night, immediately following Night 2 of SummerSlam. That being said, stay cool all week. Good night. Bomb the dang, the dang.